Hello, my sweet summer children. I'm back with the juice to get you wait. No, sorry. I forgot who I was for a second there. This is Joe Magician. Today, I have a treat for you going into Season 8 of Game of Thrones. Joining me is the fabulous Gray Area of the similarly named Gray Area YouTube channel. Talk about a central question of the final season. Who does the Night King want to kill? This is something you've talked about recently, Gray, right?
Yeah. And I'm here with the juice to get you through the long night. I Inception Joe.
No. She's taking over my own video.
So we was talking about who does the Night King want to kill, because Entertainment Weekly released an article of a very rare interview with the Night King.
Yeah, he actually spoke. That was an unusual one for him. I get the feeling he said too much in this article. The actors don't usually give this much away about what they're doing the upcoming season. This is pretty blatant.
Yeah. I was shocked. When I first seen it, my jaw dropped. I was like, are you serious?
And then you ran home and got on your computer and started typing and making videos as fast as you could.
No, because it was back to back. The covers came out where the Night King had the 7-pointed star eye. Mm-hmm. So that came out on Monday. And then Tuesday, the trailer came out. And then Wednesday, this came out. So it was just an exponential amount of juice. I waited about a week before I even talked about this.
In your mind, though, you were all over this. This was your jam.
Yeah. On Twitter, I was. Lord.
Oh, yeah. You were blowing up Twitter.
Yeah.
So for the people who don't know, why don't we read out a couple of the passages, the ones we're talking about in particular.
Okay, so let's start with this one. What can we expect from him in the final season? People will see he has a target he wants to kill, and you will find out who that is. There's also that moment in Hardhome when Jon Snow was on the boat and the Night King looked at him and raised his arms. There's a similar and even stronger moment between Jon and the Night King this time.
Ooh, yeah, that's, he probably shouldn't have said those things.
Yeah. Yeah, that was he gave a lot away. Because if you think about that moment thing that he's talking about Jon and the Night King having a similar moment that they had in at Hardhome this season, and it's going to be even stronger. So the only way it can really be even stronger is if when he does have that raising his arms moment, it's with people that Jon knows.
Oh, you just made me sad.
I mean, can you think of anything else?
Yeah, maybe if it was Dany or something. He just raises Dany in front of him. That'd be awful.
Yeah.
Or Arya or Sansa or something.
Yeah. That would be terrible.
It is. And then the second quote.
So what does the Night King want anyway? Somebody made him the Night King. Nobody knows who he was before, a soldier or part of nobility. He never wanted to be the Night King. I think he wants revenge. Everybody in this story has two sides, a bad side and a good side. The Night King only has one side, a bad side.
I have been talking about this for forever, that the others have reasons for what they're doing, and they're probably good reasons. And this quote basically confirms that we're going to learn much of that probably during this season.
Yeah. I can't get behind that the Night King only has a bad side. So I don't agree with that.
Yeah. Even Joffrey, you're supposed to feel sad as he dies.
I don't feel sad.
Well, you're supposed to, according to George. You're supposed to think about what it means that you're cheering for a teenage boy to die in his mother's arms.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm awful person for that. But I was like, yes. But no, for the Night King, for them to say that the Night King only has a bad side, we've seen in interviews that Dan and Dave have done where they specifically say that the Night King is not absolute evil.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that.
Certainly an interesting quote. And another one that I'm sure the PR department over HBO, as soon as they saw this, were like, what the hell, man?
Yeah. There's been some interviews during this off season, leading up to season 8, that kind of had me scratching my head a little bit. Like, were you supposed to say that? Like, especially the interview with, well, it wasn't really an interview. So HBO had put up these like story of Bran Stark, mm-hmm. and it's all about Bran from the beginning to where leading up till now, like in preparation for season 8. But instead of just showing you the whole episode, they have Isaac Hempstead Wright basically narrating certain turning points in Bran's arc. And he says that the wights that attacked Bran at the cave, the Three-Eyed Raven's cave, were put there many years ago to prevent another Three-Eyed Raven from being born. That's information that we didn't know and didn't have.
I agree. We didn't know that. We didn't have that before. I mean, you could surmise what they're there for. There's only so many reasons you bury a bunch of wights in the snow around a cave that they can't run into. It's clearly a siege situation. But I think there's two kinds of things we're talking about, where a lot of times they go back and explain stuff for the upcoming season, like they had Isaac do, basically, where people were confused when they first saw it. They've heard that, so they're going to have the actors give out plot points in interviews or details that they missed. For this, though, this is very different, where they're giving out new information, a new plot. That's unusual for them.
But about those interviews or those videos that they watched, they took them all down.
Oh, boy.
They took them...
like the HBO site when they initially named the Night King Brandon, and then that got scrubbed?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or when they named the Night King the 13th Lord Commander of the Night's Watch.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we weren't supposed to say that.
And they took it down, yeah. So, like that, but I agree, this interview is very rare, and he gave away a lot. And he probably got a call from Dan and Dave, like, hey, bro, like, why would you say that?
Entertainment Weekly, too, probably got a call. But, so let's actually get into what he's talking about here. So the first quote, he says that people will see he has a target he wants to kill, and you will find out who that is. Now, you've made a wildly successful video on this already. Why don't you just briefly get into your opinion on who he's trying to kill?
I think it's Bran because we have a lot of clues that say that it's Bran. Like, we have Jojen telling Bran, like, you're the only one thing that matters. And then we have Benjen telling Bran, like, you're going to defeat him. You'll be ready when he comes. It, talking about the Night King. And then we have the Three-Eyed Raven or the Three-Eyed Crow. I don't know if people get triggered when I interchange Crow and Raven. So the Three-Eyed Raven, we have him telling Bran, you know, after the Night King touches Bran, he was like, did he touch you? And Bran's like, I don't know. And he was like, he touched you. It's time for you to become me. Like, he knows you're here. He'll come for you. He doesn't say, like, he knows where you are and he's going to come and kill me. He says he'll come for you. Like, he doesn't want another Three-Eyed Raven to be born. Mm-hmm. And it, which leads into the question is, well, if it is Bran, then why is it Bran? And is it just because Bran is the Three-Eyed Raven? And I think that leads into something else, which is, what is the Three-Eyed Raven? So I won't, like, go down the rabbit hole because this is Joe's video.
True. This is my video, Gray.
So who do you think the target is?
I'm in control here. Well, kind of. I don't know if I'm actually in control. I think who the actor is talking about here is, I think he's talking about Jon Snow in particular, where the basic idea behind it is that all throughout A Song of Ice and Fire and Game of Thrones, the others have, and the White Walkers, whichever, another thing that triggers people, no matter which way you say it, they have gone out of their way for only, like, very specific targets. There's only a few things they truly care about, beyond just, like, mass death and growing their army and getting rid of, like, the Night's Watch, like, getting rid of impediments. They've cared very deeply about Craster's last son, and they've cared very deeply about Waymar Royce in particular. those are basically it. And then Jon Snow in the show, because those, fun fact, those hard home scenes are not in the books. They made those up. But they are callbacks to Waymar. But anyway, so I think what's happening is that it's been marked for quite some time that as Jon is the Song of Ice and Fire, or whatever that actually means, that they know they've been looking for him for a long time. And they've been kind of waiting for a moment in his life when they can finally kill him in order to enact some kind of goal they haven't gotten to yet. So that's basically, that's my pitch. I think it's Jon. I think they treat Bran similarly that they do to other characters that are in their way, but they do something different and something special for Jon.
So a while back, I will say, like, since the very beginning, I used to always think that Jon, like, the story was about Jon. Jon is the most important thing in the story. The White Walkers want Jon. Jon is the prince that was promised and all of that. But more recently, I would say within like the last year, especially since season 6, I've been really looking at Bran. And I feel like what they did with Bran at the cave in season 6, episode 5, the way that they came was full force.
Mm-hmm. And they definitely did.
And we physically, we don't see the Night King physically fighting anyone. But we see the Night King physically kill the Three-Eyed Raven.
True. And see, him and Viserion, I think, are the only ones he's taken down personally.
Yeah. Like, usually he just has has his White Walkers or his lieutenants, as Dan and Dave call them, kill people. And he just kind of chills and watches. But we see him physically go up in that cave, and he like sizes up Blood Raven, and there's like this weird pause, and then he kills him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the HBO rewatch with Isaac Hempstead, he says that the Three-Eyed Raven and the Night King are ancient enemies. So that's even more so a reason why Bran would be the Night King's target, because he's the Three-Eyed Crow now. So now technically Bran is the Night King's ancient enemy.
I mean, for sure. Bran is definitely in his way. We've seen them face off a number of times. Not only the scene you talked about earlier where he touched him and used that to mark him in order to find him, but there's also the scenes where Bran sends the ravens out to go find him. And at a glance, the Night King looks up and scatters it and actually breaks Bran's skin changing that's going on right there, that's a new thing when that happened. I don't think anybody knew that could happen. So, and you're right, when he goes into Blood Raven's cave, there's a certain amount of satisfaction I think you can see on his icy face as he takes out Blood Raven this time. Maybe he's done it before, maybe this is like a constant thing where, in your video you suggest that the Three-Eyed Raven is more than a title, that as a human sort of bonds with the Weirwoods, he takes in some part of like this ancient knowledge, sort of like Avatar the Last Airbender kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what people in the comments, I've never seen that, but that's what people in the comments were kind of saying that it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so there's a interview with D&D, and I think it's Dave says, you know, being the Three-Eyed Raven, it's not just a title. And the Three-Eyed Raven isn't entirely human. So Bran, the more, and we get an example of that. Like, we see how Bran has changed.
Right.
Like, season 7 Bran is creepy.
Yeah, he's not quite himself anymore.
No, he's just like Bran. Bran prior to season 7 was like a happy-go-lucky kid. I would say he was a very sweet boy. And now, like, you just don't see any emotion from him. He's just, like, emotionally blank. Even when he hugs his sister, like, when he reunites with Sansa, like, you just don't feel anything. And I think that it's purposely supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
And then when he tells Mira, when Mira's like, you know, I'm going to go back to Greywater Watch. And then he's just like, okay. she's like, what the fuck? Like, I don't want to cuss. You don't need no cussing on your channel.
I don't need no cussing.
Yeah. And she's just like, what the heck? Like, I, my brother died for you, Hodor died for you, Summer died for you. And she tells him, like, you died in that cave. And she's like, Bran, and he's like, not really. Like, I'm not, like, I know, remember what it was like to be Bran, but I have to remember so much else now.
Yeah, so, I like calling him Dr. Bran Hatton, which is, you know, a reference to Watchmen, where the guy, before he turns into the supernatural, magical being that is Dr. Manhattan, he loses a lot of his personality just because his perspective on everything is so much greater. And especially because what we're supposed to understand about Bran's transformation is that he, I guess he's like sort of absorbed all the knowledge, and he just has like a search engine through his brain where he can find anything. That's like, that's how he goes to find the Rhaegar and Lyanna memory. So at that point, like, previously, he was 100% Bran Stark in his head. But now he has this, all these memories going back tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, maybe. So the amount of experiences that are actually him within his own head is just so much smaller now.
Yeah. But, like, I get that, but I don't want to, like, make this completely about Bran, because we're supposed to be talking about John.
We will. Well, I have a point about this. So.
Okay.
So your assertion is that Bran's going to be the target, that we're going to find out that this is who he wants to kill. But we already know the Night's King wants to kill Bran. He's done it. He's tried to do it several times already. So if when you look back and you actually parse the language that the actor is using, I don't think that makes like a ton of sense for what he's saying. Because it'd be like saying like, oh, he wants to go kill like Bloodraven, or he wants to go kill the Night's Watch. Well, that's already been an established target for him. Whereas when you look at John, he has notably declined to kill John at every point he's had an opportunity. And I think just if you look at what he's saying, it makes more sense on that level.
So in a certain sense, I get what you're saying, and I kind of agree with it. But where I will refute you at every turn is that we know that the general watcher, not like the over-analyzers like us and a lot of other people, but the general watcher that watches Game of Thrones has no idea who the Night King wants to kill, who he's tried to kill. They just think that he wants to kill everybody. Like, that's the general consensus, is that the Night King just wants to come back and kill people.
Kind of, yeah.
So there's no singular target at any time. But I will say that he has had the opportunity to kill Jon.
Yes, he has. Twice.
And he doesn't do it.
Doesn't do it. So to the average show watcher, they know that the Night King has, for some reason, not killed Jon when he has the opportunity. And I think that tracks a little better. And if we look at the characters that he's tried to kill in the past, I mean, we look at Gilly and Little Sam. He's tried to kill all the wildlings, basically. The entire Night's Watch, Bran. As we talked about Bloodraven, that was apparently a very special moment for him. But then, but it's not only Jon, though, that he has omitted killing. So there are some other opportunities here, like, for instance, Daenerys. Somebody did an analysis on the scene where he throws the spear to kill Viserion. Actually, Viserion was very far away when he did that. Drogon and Rhaegal were much closer, and so was Daenerys. But for some reason, the Night King wanted Viserion, and that's the one he threw it at. So
you know
he's done
You know why he wanted Viserion?
Why?
Because he needed to get past the wall, because you know who was already past the wall?
Who's that?
Bran.
He's chasing Bran.
He's chasing Bran.
Interesting.
But I did a comparison on that. I don't know if it was mine that you watched.
It probably was.
But yeah, they have, when Jon and Beric and Tormund and the Hound are all standing on that island, like surrounded on that lake, they actually have those throwing, javelin spears.
Yeah, they had them ready to go.
Yeah, they had them ready. They had them right there. So if Jon is your target that you want to kill, he's right there. Why not kill him?
Yeah, this is something I thought about a bit, because we talked about this after the article came out. We were talking on Twitter and all that stuff. And what I came to think about is that he may be waiting for something, a specific time in John's life. Like, he in the same way that he was waiting for apparently Viserion in particular over the other dragons. So it may be after John has had a child, maybe he's waiting for that. Or maybe there's like a certain point in the war because they're connected to the Weirwoods and they likely have some sort of future sight like the Greenseers do. He may be waiting for the perfect moment. And he knows it's coming, but it's not here yet. But for, as far as the show's concerned, he does not want to kill John.
I can see that working, because I've played a lot with like the whole Azor Ahai prophecy thing,
mm-hmm.
being, you know, a red herring, not a red herring, but a false messenger. And basically the prophecy being fulfilled, like John, like everyone thinks that Daenerys is Nissa Nissa and John is Azor Ahai and Daenerys is going to have to stab Nissa Nissa. So like, let's say that the people in the actual story believe that and John stabs Daenerys and like that's some kind of like blood betrayal that ushers in the real Long Night. And then he might kill John.
Yeah,
after
at
he
that
completes
point.
Some ritual that he needs completed or something like that.
And it's also important that John is undead at this point, which makes him fairly unusual. It's like basically him and Beric running around with no Lady Stoneheart. So there may be something about perhaps his Stark blood or the fact that he's a skin changer and that he's undead. Like he may be wanting to take John's body, but after some certain point. Because that's what it seems to happen with Gilly's and Craster's kids. They sort of take them and convert them into new ones.
Yeah. And John just like falls in the lake and they just kind of like leave him there.
They let him go.
It's like, whatever.
Remember when he went chasing after the whites and they like kind of went after him, but not really. And then Benjen said, get out of here. Like at any point they could have killed him any different way they want. There's something they're waiting for, I think.
Yeah, it's really like I do feel like it's either. I feel like it's narrowed down to John or Bran.
Well, there's one other person that has been totally ignored by the White Walkers, and this is like I think a dark horse. Well, no, not Cersei. I think this is one of the things that has confused fans maybe the most, and it's that Samwell Tarly, why he got ignored by the White Walker who early on in the series. On the horse, who walked by him, looked at him, screamed, and then kept going to leave Sam alive. What the hell was that?
I don't know. And I've thought about that for like ever. And I just don't understand. I wonder if it may be a plot hole. Maybe.
It's so unclear because it's actually the second time that Sam's come in contact with I think he actually kills that same one later, right?
Yeah, he kills it when it comes for Gilly's baby.
So it only was interested in when he had the kid. But like, how difficult is it for him to just like point at a white, point at Sam and have him take care of it? It's kind of, it's very strange.
So tinfoil.
Oh.
So in the trailer, I thought like the images of the dragons flying looked to be beyond the wall.
I agree.
And there's like a river. In one of them, you can see a river frozen. And I'm like, okay. And then I went looking back at previous season footage. And it looks like it could be the Fist of the First Men.
Mm.
And we know that like the Night's Watch was there. And that's where the White Walkers attacked. And there was buried there. There was dragon glass and the horn. So I'm wondering if there was like some kind of urgency for the White Walkers, if there is actually something still buried there.
Oh, something that Sam might uncover.
Yeah, that the Night King and the White Walkers don't want to be uncovered. And that's why there was like some urgency. Like, I can't even focus on you right now, Samwell Tarly, because I have to go over here to the Fist of the First Men and tear stuff up.
I mean, that would be interesting. And we know from the upcoming trailer that Bran and Samwell are basically going to be best buddies this season. The two knowledgeable characters behind the scenes.
Yes. Like, Bran's going to be probably like Google for Sam.
Yeah, so basically.
So Sam's going to have a computer.
Oh, finally. Finally, Sam can look stuff up without Gilly reading out diaries.
Yeah. And we don't have to hear about how many steps are in the Citadel and how many shits, how many poops, how many poops Archmaester or something took.
Yeah, that was an interesting scene. I think for both these characters, I kind of answered this already, but for Bran in particular, if the Night King is going out of his way to kill someone in particular, there should be some kind of goal or reason behind it. Because he seems to want everybody dead. So if his focus is narrowed this far, what do you think it is for Bran that really makes him so juicy that he really needs to kill him?
So for me, for Bran, it's that part of it is that Bran is the three-eyed raven.
Mm-hmm.
So because Bran is the three-eyed raven, every three-eyed raven that ever was lives inside of Bran. And I say that because with Blood Raven tells Bran, it's time for you to become me. So Bran is becoming the three-eyed raven. And then inside of Bran is Brendan Rivers and whoever else was the three-eyed raven before Brendan Rivers, going back to whenever the three-eyed raven was first created. And I think during the initial Long Night, it was the three-eyed raven that defeated the Night King. Or in the books, I think the Night King is the Great Other.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they're the same thing. But I just think the show simplified it because they don't use the word others. They use White Walkers. So they just made it Night King just to make it simple.
The whitest of walkers.
Yeah. So I think there's like part of it is revenge, like revenge on the three-eyed crow, the initial one.
Mm-hmm.
Initial three-eyed crow, which is part of Bran now. And there's like a little foreshadowing for this with like all of the like Sam feeling other people inside of the birds.
Sure.
And then Vladimir Sixskins feeling
Vladimir Sixskins.
Vladimir. I have a cat named Vladimir.
It's Varamyr.
Varamyr Sixskins. I don't even call him Varamyr. I call him Vamyr. Vamyr Sixskins, feeling oral still inside the eagle,
mm-hmm.
and like the eagle becoming the eagle like hating John,
yeah,
taking on that. And then there's this quote, I think it's from Bran, and I don't know if it's in the book, but it's in the history and lore for Game of Thrones, and it's about wargs. And it's about whether the man controls the beast or the beast controls the man.
Yeah, that's a quote from the books where it's implied that even if Summer died, that part of him would stay in Bran's soul.
Yeah. So I think there's something like that that's kind of hard to explain in like 3 minutes. But there's something like that going on. And I think the Night King really wants to end whatever is happening. And I feel like if Bran is killed, or if the three-eyed raven is killed, I feel like that is going to do something. It's going to have some kind of universal effect.
Mm. A death of magic idea.
Yeah. And I feel like if the Night King is killed, there's also going to be some kind of universal effect. Because we know that, we don't know, but it's implied, at least in theory, that the winter and the summers are the way they are because of magic.
Sure. Something going on there, especially since the Valyrians died out. Like the rest of the planet's called the Lands of Long Summer. So yeah, it's been like yo-yoing back and forth between them, kind of.
Yeah, and on a universal level, it's affecting the universe and the summers and the weather. So I feel like to eliminate them, both of them, or one or the other, that there's going to be some kind of big effect that we're not aware of yet.
So that is the case for Bran. I laid out mine for John. Who do you think is right in this one? Tell us in the comments, did Joe convince you or did Grey? Which one is the Night King really going for? And we just have one more topic we're going to talk about. The other information that was revealed in this, and that he never wanted to be the Night King, that he wants revenge. And this is something interesting because when you watch the acting for the Night King creation scene, he is struggling and he looks terrified. He doesn't look happy to be there, but it's something that clashes directly with the myths we get from the books, and they've actually included in the history and lore, where the Night King is more implied to be a willing participant, that he found and took the Night's Queen and gave her his seed and ruled from the Night Fort. But this seems to be directly clashing with that, that he was created totally against his will. What do you think about that?
I think he was created against his will. Like, I believe that he was. I've told you and I've told the Sweet Summer Children that that there's like a lot of evidence that kind of seems like the Starks were kind of offering up their kids.
Yeah.
To the cold gods, kind of like what Craster does with his kids. So I could definitely see a situation like that. Now, for the first White Walker ever created, that's the Night King. Doesn't the Night King on the show does not look like that person that's on the cave painting. I mean, unless he shaves. Because the guy in the cave painting has a long white beard.
Maybe that's Edric Snowbeard, the legendary Stark King of Winter.
Yeah, well, maybe he was the first. but I mean, he's tied to a tree. He's tied to a weirwood tree.
Yep.
And dragon glass is shoved through his heart.
Yeah, that's not a great thing to have happen to you. Not something that looks willingly. And what's interesting, I think, about this is that, like you're saying, if he was... this is something from your Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn idea, that giving over a promised prince may have been the creation of them. This almost certainly implies that perhaps your ideas about the timelines, in that the Andal invasion lining up with the First Long Night, may be correct. Because if the Starks are giving up somebody to the children to create the White Walkers, they wouldn't do that to fight themselves.
Exactly. They would do it to fight the Andals. And all of Westeros is conquered, or was conquered, by the Andals, save for one place, the North.
Yeah. They went everywhere else. They took down the Vale, they took down the Crownlands, took down the Westerlands, even the Reach. Although what's interesting is that although they won the days, eventually the First Men did come back. Like, when Aegon the Conqueror lands in Westeros, among the kings of Westeros, almost all of them are First Men. They're the Starks, the Lannisters, the Gardeners, the Durandons. Some say the Ironborn kind of are. It's hard to say. Their details are kind of muddied in the past, but really only Dorne and the Vale have Andal kings at that time. So it seems that whatever they did after the Andal invasion worked pretty well, because they took back a lot of their territory.
Speaking of Andal invasion and what Joe's talking about, this interview that the Night King did, the cover of the interview, you get a really close-up picture of the Night King,
mm-hmm.
and you get a really close-up picture of the cover of the Entertainment Weekly magazine. And the Night King has a seven-pointed star as his eyeball.
He does.
A seven-pointed star. And then the Stranger from the Faith of the Seven has stars on his eyes.
Simeon well. Star Eyes, huh?
And then there's Simeon Star Eyes. And there's a lot of juice that we could get into, but then this video would be like 5 hours.
It would be 5 hours, but just on like a simple level, the Starks are known primarily for their dark features. They almost always have brown and black hair, kind of like the Baratheons and the Strongs, like I talked about in my last video. But the Night King character, at least in the show, has blonde hair, and they are very willing to dye hair and change eye color if they need to. They decline to for some reason.
Yep. And there's this, like, I don't know how canon this is. There's this board, and I guess Joe could link it or show it on the screen. And it's like the recreation of the scene, and it's supposed to be what the show people or the director people drew out to make sure the scene was right. And that board says the Andal is tied the Andal is scared or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, you showed me this. It's if it's canon, it's interesting. I don't know exactly where it came from, if that website is real, but if real, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and they spelled Andal wrong. So maybe English isn't their first language, and they're, I don't know, but they spelled Andal wrong.
He certainly looks like an Andal.
It was interesting. It was interesting. And then there's a lot of things about iron and dragon steel that don't really line up with the timeline, that kind of make you question things. And then there's always, when you think about, George says he wants the prequel to be called The Long Night. He thinks it should be called The Long Night.
Mm-hmm.
And the teaser that we got for the prequel that's supposed to come out after season 8 is, it's not the story we think we know.
And the story we know is that the children created the White Walkers in response to the First Men. So if that's wrong, maybe Grey's right.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see. I'm not betting on it, you know.
Well, it certainly helped you out, much in the same way for the How Strong video, where Amanda suddenly got all this information from Fire and Blood that helped out her idea. It appears that the show is helping out your ideas at this point.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, like, I don't know. I feel like we're not going to get the answers that we want in Game of Thrones Season 8.
At least not about the ancient history, for sure.
Yeah, not about the Night King. Like, we're probably not going to find out who the Night King is or what he wants.
Well, I don't know. These quotes seem to think that this will be a plot point, but maybe not the details. Just like the overview of what happened to him.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really like washed and muddied. And because like, if you're trying to make a new show about what we've just waited for all of these seasons of this show, then you might not want to reveal everything.
Very true.
But I don't know. We'll see. Fingers crossed.
We'll see. It's the Game of Thrones Season 8 coming out in just a few weeks as of this recording. We're not that far away. I think that wraps it up for this short conversation talking about Entertainment Weekly. All the plugs. Do I have to do my titles, Gray? I don't think so.
Do the titles. Let me do them. I'm like Miss Andy.
Oh, yeah. Do my titles.
Joe Magician, YouTuber, writer for Watches on the Wall, moderator for Reddit, A Song of Ice and Fire,
yep.
Subreddit. My Father of Dragons, Breaker of Chains.
Wow. You got them all. It's amazing. Except
no, I don't think I got them all.
No, you missed moderator for, I mean, God, I said it wrong too. Co-host for Maester Monthly, the podcast I do with my fellow Song of Ice and Fire mods. Ed, Gray, where can people find the juice to get them through the long night?
You can find me on my channel, Gray Area, on YouTube. You can also find me on Twitter at This Gray Area and Instagram at This Gray Area. And I have a podcast that does not have a name yet that will be coming up shortly. You'll see it. Or hear it. You don't really see podcasts.
Probably hear it. Like, that's usually how podcasts work, I think.
Yeah. But thanks for having me on, Joseph.
Of course, it's always great talking to you, Gray. All right, see you later, everybody.
And thank you very much for listening. If you want to hear more, go to Gray Area's YouTube channel and watch her video titled Why is Bran Stark the Night King's Target? Link will be in the description. She makes a very convincing and entertaining case, so I suggest you check it out. For what's coming up next, Game of Thrones Season 8 is fast upon us, so I'll have one more video before the season starts. It will be a sequel to my Killing of a Ranger video with some ideas I talked about in this video as well. As for my schedule during the show, I'll be doing streams for about a half hour to an hour directly after each episode here on my channel. Make sure you hit the little bell button so that you get notified when I go live. And then a produced video or two during the week with reviews and theories and observations during the episode. If you would like to support the channel, consider signing up at Patreon at patreon.com/joemagician, where you can get access to the video and audio ahead of time, custom artwork from what you see in the videos drawn by Sanrixian, and at the higher levels, you can even have the ability to have me make a video on a topic that we choose together. And now, to give thanks to my many wonderful patrons, my brown wizard, Mr. Skillen, my blue wizard, Pandora, 1777, and my Archmaester patrons, Nessie the Questing Beast, June the Healer, V the Archmaester of Nothing, Brendan Beefish, KCD, Johan, Nauticast, Sanrixia, Steven Stark, and Lady Shar. And for more content from me, I am a future writer on Watchers on the Wall, a co-host of the Maester Monthly podcast, as well as a moderator for the R Song of Ice and Fire board on Reddit. Remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe if you enjoyed what you heard. Thank you very much for listening.